Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett and I will be your host for the next 30 minutes. This is another in our ongoing series, The Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone from the literary world. My guest today is James Ventrilo. James has just released his new book, Rick and Bobo, One Genius, One Not. James, welcome to the program, and thank you for taking time out to talk with us.
Well, thank you, Simon. I appreciate it.
Maybe we can start with a little background. Who are the Ventrilo brothers?
Well, my brother and I were only two children of our parents, and we're almost 40 years old, and we are big movie fans. We've been watching movies about every weekend since we were kids. Our parents took us every weekend, and we developed a love for the cinema, and my brother has a 200 IQ, so he's got virtually an eidetic memory, more of a photographic memory is the lay term. And so we always play these movie trivia games. We'll speak in the lines of movies. When we talk to each other, we'll just throw in a line to see if the other person catches it. So we're big movie fans. And we came across the Matrix series, which we really, really love. And we're disappointed by the last one. And we kind of got together and thought that we could actually write a better series. And so the Rick and Bobo series was born.
So your brother genuinely has a 200 IQ.
Well, it's 200 plus. I remember my wife's brother at the time was trying to get into Mensa, and you have to have 150 IQ to get in. And there's an online test you can take. And so every night, this guy would take a little bit of wine, relax, you know, reduce his stress, and get online and try and pass this Mensa test. And he kept getting in the 140s, which is awesome. I mean, I got probably 100 IQ, so 140 is amazing. But I came home and told my brother, and so in the middle of watching Law & Order, he decided to go ahead and take it. And he finished it, I think it's a 20-minute test. He finished it in 15 minutes, and his score was so high that they had to estimate his IQ at 200 plus.
Wow.
Yeah. They don't even know what it is. And he's never told a soul. My brother's never told a soul what his IQ is. He just keeps it completely to himself. I'm the only person that talks about it.
Is Rick and Bobo your first foray into the book world?
Into the book world, yes. My brother, of course, he's read tons of books. He reads them all the time. I maybe read a handful in my lifetime. I'm not a big reader. Like I said, we're more of movies. And I was down here in Myrtle Beach, actually, where I am right now, and I had just gotten divorced, and I was out here walking on the beach, and I just was, you know, super depressed. I had just seen The Matrix 3 the day before. I was just really bummed out at the way they finished the series. And I just came up with an idea for a book, and I wrote four scripts for this book. It's a series. I wrote them all in 10 days. I just could not write fast enough. And my brother read them and thought they were fantastic. And so we kind of went from there. You know, he started to help me convert these into books, and it was a whole long process that's taken us 6 years to get through.
Wow. So this means that you probably have three more books just waiting in the wings.
Well, when you have these first four, I compressed them into three, and you know they went through quite a number of revisions over 6 years. So there's actually three books. It's a three book series, and they've all been written. Jeez, no, I think there's four books. I don't even remember anymore. Yeah, there's four books. And they're all written in script format, and then we rewrite them into novel format. So this first one is in its novel format, and the other three are still in script format, but they're already finished. So we already know what the last line of dialogue is in the very last book. As a matter of fact, that last line of dialogue is also in the very first book. So it's kind of a full circle kind of thing to it. Yeah.
I'm not even going to try and guess what it might be.
Yeah, you won't be able to guess.
Without giving any spoilers, can you give us a synopsis of the plot? What is Rick and Bobo all about?
Well, every book has a lot of, well, I shouldn't say a lot, but they have significant twists in them. So I wouldn't be able to give you a synopsis of individual books or really the entire series. But I can tell you it's about these two brothers that go on this four-book adventure with the same villains throughout. We keep all the characters the same, and it's every book has its own clear beginning and end, but they're part of a series. So there's a lot of build-up. Every book builds on the previous one. We designed them so that the next book would be better than the first. So there are a lot of setups that you probably don't even realize in each one of the books, but they come to fruition in the next one and the next one, and they keep growing and growing until the climax. But my brother was in charge of a lot of those setups. So a lot of them are subtle and some are not, and some of them you just won't be able to figure out because, you know, you got to have my brother's IQ to figure them out. They're very well hidden. There's a ton. So it's a lot of fun when you read it because you start seeing all these things come together that you didn't even realize were coming together, and then other things which are much more apparent. But I would say it's about these two brothers, and it's about this their love for movies and taking you through this superhero world. But it's a very realistic world because, you know, my ideas are very fanciful, but my brother keeps everything logical. He says, this is impossible. It has to be done like this. And when we were rewriting these, you know, I threw away an entire script. I had to throw away huge portions of the story because it simply wasn't rational enough. And my brother made it all feel very real. When you read these books, it's going to be you're going to be walking a line, and you'll be thinking, you know, is this possible? Can this really happen? And it might. You know, it's pretty good. I think it's a pretty realistic series, but also a lot of fun, a lot of fantasy to it.
Let me guess. You probably have a nickname for your brother. Do you call him Spock?
No. No, Nick doesn't take to nicknames. When I was younger, I called him Half. When we were younger, it was just a really weird nickname, but it was like he was my other half. And we often think along the very same lines. You know, I'll call him 2 seconds before he was going to call me, or we think the exact same thing all the time. We're 1 year apart, but when we were younger, we looked like twins. And because we've lived very similar lives and we, you know, like the same things, we do think very, very much alike. So that was the only nickname I had for him was Half. Kind of weird.
Well, recommend Spock to him the next time you talk.
I can't. You know why? Because although Spock was intelligent, he controlled his emotions. And my brother cannot. Although he's doing better now, but when he was younger, really even into his early 30s, he was uncontrollable. Because of his IQ, he really didn't have any friends growing up, and he was very isolated, and so he didn't learn how to deal with people very well, which is a problem with high IQ kids. But and he started getting picked on because of his IQ, so he started weightlifting. So he's actually a very big guy. He's probably the smartest weightlifter on the planet. I can't imagine that there's someone smarter than him that lifts weights as much as he does.
Okay, so, I'll be nice about him. I know that it's really early days, but what sort of reader feedback are you getting about the book?
You know, I haven't had any negative feedback, which I'm very excited about. I've had people as old as 75. We had an educator who's been a teacher for 50 years who loved it so much that he's done a video review, and he's posted us on the Huffington Post an article he writes for there and for them, and he's advertising this all over the place because he just loves the book. And then I have kids as young as 12 and 13, you know, whose parents read the reviews and had their kids read it, and their kids love it as well. So I've been very fortunate. We've been getting very, very good reviews. Haven't had any negative reviews so far.
Oh, I enjoyed the book a great deal. I thought it was wonderful fun. And there was something you said earlier on about your brother and logic. And I have to admit that all of the quote, special effects could indeed exist. I mean, they're not beyond the realm of science.
No, it's pretty realistic. I remember when I saw, when I was about 13 or 12 or so, I saw Star Wars. And everybody wanted to be Han Solo and Luke Skywalker, but for whatever reason, the next morning, I went to the library and I looked up lasers because I figured I was going to go ahead and build myself a lightsaber. But my idea was not to be a Jedi, you know, and use this lightsaber to fight evil. I wanted to be a lumberjack. I figured with a lightsaber, I could just make a really big one and just cut down a whole bunch of trees and make a fortune. So it was very weird, but to this day, I remember how those lasers are made, and that made its way into the book. My brother, of course, knows exactly how gas and ruby lasers and all these different lasers are made, and he incorporated that into the mechanism that our superhero uses. So everything in there is semi-plausible. You know, the research on the solar cells and the suit and everything, you know, it's all real. It just takes a tiny leap of faith to wonder if these two people could put this together. And really, that's just a very small part of the book, as you know, from reading it.
Yeah. In fact, the very first job I had, which was many years ago, was working for the United Kingdom Atomic Energy Research folks. And we were looking at fission and fusion. And they had this great demo of a laser. It's the best I've ever seen. And they actually laid out a sheet of suit cloth and had the laser cut the the pants and suit part.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Fabulous stuff. And that, we're going back to the 70s.
That's pretty amazing for the 70s.
Oh, it certainly was.
Yeah.
I have to admit that I was reading, while I was reading the book, I was thinking how easily it would translate into a graphic novel. I mean, I think that's where it needs to be. Have you played into that hand at all?
Yes, actually, we do have a company that's interested in possibly converting Rick and Bobo into a graphic novel. We had a couple of companies show interest because these books were scripts, and because we love movies more than we like books, we wrote the book as a movie style, and we've had quite a few reviews that also say it feels like watching a movie. So when you combine that with a fast-paced book, it does lend, and there's a lot of action in it, it does lend itself to a graphic novel format. And in actuality, that is our marketing idea. Our idea is to get this into a graphic novel and bypass the whole book market, really, and go right to movie. We want to take a graphic novel, which is really a storyboard for the entire book. It'll be like a 250-page graphic novel. We'll take this into the movie studios and agents and whatnot in Hollywood and try and get someone to pick it up. And of course, if it ever gets picked up, then of course the book and the graphic novel will sell off the shelves. But really, we want to go backwards on trying to market this by going to the movies first and book afterwards, as opposed to trying to go through the book industry, which is a monster. You know, it's terribly difficult.
The book world's an ugly one.
It is.
Not a movie, but I could see this as being something picked up by one of the companies that does TV animation. I could see this as a weekly show.
Yeah, it has a lot of potential. It could be even a cartoon, or Disney or anything. It has a lot of potential, and it's also very adult as well. It's written by two guys that were almost 40 years old, so there's a lot of adult stuff in there. I like to think of it kind of like Aladdin. I mean, not in the story sense, but Aladdin, you had to be an adult to catch a lot of what Robin Williams was saying in the cartoon Aladdin, but kids just loved it. So there's definitely different layers to Rick and Bobo. It's a good book for all ages, so I think it could either be, a feature film and or a television series or animated series or, any number of things, because it does have a nice range of audiences.
Oh, it certainly does. We touched on the subject of the book world being a brutal one, especially in this rotten economy. The traditional publishers won't even look at you unless you already have a hit book. What was your experience? Did you try the traditional route?
Well, when we first wrote this, I wrote it as scripts, as I mentioned earlier. And we went to an agent in Hollywood to try and find an agent, of course, to make this into a movie, which was our first idea. And we got one, which is not easy to do. After about 2 years, we got an agent, and she shopped this around in Hollywood. And people read it and said, yeah, it's okay, but you're not going to be able to make this into a movie without an audience. Now, back then, Rick Bobo was a 92-page script. So my brother comes along and says, all right, let's do this right. So we learned how to write a novel. And for my brother, that was relatively simple. He converted the Rick and Bobo, the first book, into a novel. So it went from 92 pages to 400. We both just rewrote the whole thing, and we took this 92-page idea, basically, and made this full, really fleshed out the characters and just made it into a really great story. And that really helped the other three books as well. They all got souped up as well. So now we're trying to build a readership so that we can go back to the movie studios. But, you ever see the movie Bulletproof Monk?
I'm not sure I have.
Well, save yourself a couple of bucks. It wasn't that great. But Bulletproof Monk started out as a script, and they said, forget about it. You need an audience. They went back and made a graphic novel. And once that started selling, they took that back to the studios, and then they got the movie made. So the studios are only going to make a movie if you can guarantee them that they're going to have an audience for it, that they're going to make some money. So that's what we're doing. We're doing the book, we're going to do the graphic novel, and then we're going back to the studios.
I think that's a wonderful idea, and I mean, it's a creative method to get to where you need to get to. In fact, I was talking to an author a couple of weeks ago. He has over 20 books published, and they're all with major houses, but they're all factual, technical type books. He decided to write a little kid's book, and it's a charming book. No one would touch him. He ended up having to self-publish. I mean, can you
Be
bad?
Yeah, I read the stories about J.K. Rowling when she made the first Harry Potter. And the boys out there in the U.K. across the pond, you guys didn't like it. The publishing houses said, maybe we'll try and sell a couple of them, I don't know. So it sold off the shelves. And then, of course, America came in and said, all right, we'll give you $100,000, as an advance on your next one. And that was like the highest advance ever in history. But even with Harry Potter, she couldn't get, publishers interested in it because it was a kid's book. Rick and Bobo, I don't consider a kid's book. It's only young adult because there's not a lot of swearing in it. I think it's more of a it's hard. You know, there's not really a clear rating system for books. When we were writing it, we weren't even sure. So we just wrote it as kind of like a PG-13 movie. So really, it's open for any age group. But writing it just a kid's book, man, that's a tough world. That's just a really tough world. I've been trying for years to get a publisher to look at it. I've had some interest, but they were very small publishers. And really, they can't do anything for me that I can't do myself. Mm-hmm. So we're either going to go – now, I am starting to get some contact with Random House and Penguin, kind of going in through the back door in these companies. I'm kind of working my way in through another company that I have. So my goal in the next few months is to get a contact in one of those two places and get someone there to read the book. I've put enough reviews now that the website's coming along great. So I think that if we can get someone there to at least look at the book, I think we can go with one of these big publishing houses, and that will only help the movie. And of course, having a graphic novel companion is awesome as well.
Oh, absolutely! If you can get on with one of the the big houses, I won't say you got it made, but it's a major, major step forward. Of course, even getting a book published does not mean that you're out of the mire. You know, now you have to deal with the dreaded M word, marketing. What are you doing to market it? Are you doing book signings, that kind of thing?
No, I'm a web designer by trade, so I've developed a website, a very large one, with a lot of information for people who've read the book, and also a bunch of sister websites that accompany the rickandbobo.com website. So when people read the book, they can come to Rick and Bobo, and they can go to all the sister sites, which are sites created for the major characters in the story. So, like for the Veneer Research Corporation, which has our main villain, Freya Bakken, there's an actual website, veneerresearchcorporation.com. They can actually go there and see the company. They can see Freya, you know, actual pictures of her and the company and what they do. And there's one for the aviation guys in there. All the main characters have their own websites. Even Master Kim has his own website. So, and they're all linked from Rick and Bobo. So we're actually even trying to create the Daily Globe, which is our newspaper in the series. We actually have a dailyglobe.com, where the Las Vegas dailyglobe.com, where people can actually become reporters for the book, and they can actually write continuing stories, because there's a 1-year gap between where the first book ends and the next one begins. So we're inviting readers to write their own stories, to become reporters for this newspaper. So we're trying to create a whole Rick and Bobo universe.
This is very much viral marketing, if you don't mind me saying so.
No, that's what you want, viral marketing. I mean, anything I can do to get viral marketing. But this universe is just a place for readers. It's not necessarily advertising yet. I'm going to be doing a lot of marketing of the website to try and get people, you know, interested in the series. But really, you know, it's going to come from either getting a large publisher or getting an agent in Hollywood and getting the interest there. It's hard getting an agent, obviously, in Hollywood. We have our old agent, which we're probably going to wind up going back to. But one way or another, we're going to get somebody in Hollywood to pick this book up. You know, it's just going to take a little bit of time and some creativity. But in the meantime, we're writing the rest of the series, and we think in the next year to 2 years, we will have somebody in Hollywood interested in this series, and we can hopefully start getting this thing up on the screen.
What is the main website? I know that listeners are going to be wanting to check it out, and they're going to want to check out the Veneer company and all of the rest of the characters. Where's a good place for them to start?
RickandBobo.com.
Well, that's easy enough.
That's easy enough, yeah. Yeah, RickandBobo.com has everything. It's got all the characters and all the reviews and links to the universe And there's also a lot of hidden stuff in this series, just tons and tons of things that you didn't realize the first time you read it. So we have a forum, a blog, where readers can go in and take a look and see all the things that they didn't see, or chat about some of the things they did. There's a lot of people have already gone in there. We've got a lot of neat stuff revealed in our author's blog. Plus, there's pictures of me and my brother, and people can learn a little bit more about us and how the Rick and Bobo series came to life.
Your day job, until Rick and Bobo really takes off, is being a bit of a web head.
Currently. I do change jobs and locations every few months. I've been moving every few months since I was 17. And so I do change jobs. But the one thing I've always done is I've always kind of kept in with computers. You know, I'm a computer programmer. I've been a computer teacher. Whenever I settle in somewhere, I often try and do something online with a computer biz. Right now, I'm a Joomla website designer.
Okay. Where do you see the web heading? I mean, I hear these terms, you know, Web 2.0, Web 3.0. Where are we going to be in, let's say, 5 years?
Well, 5 years is an eternity. In computer terms, it is. You know, it's who knows, we could be flying cars. But in 5 years, one of the major Web 2.0 is dead already. The big thing right now is content management. People really want websites that they can manage on their own, and that's one of the things I do. I'm a Joomla. Joomla is the number one web content management system on the internet right now. So a lot of the websites being built today, or I should say most, are built in Joomla or something called WordPress, another popular content management system, where people hire someone like me to design the website and put it up, and then they, as the owners of the site, can go in anytime and make changes without having to have any kind of web design or HTML experience. It's designed to be like a word processor. So I think in the future, over the next few years, we're going to see content management become the norm, where people, anybody, young and old, can manage their own websites. I think that'll be where things are heading.
Yeah, in fact, WordPress is the platform that we use on Blogger News. I mean, it's simple. It's not. it's simple to put content up.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a bit more challenging to actually deal with the stuff that wraps around the content.
Yeah, you know, that's the trick. You know, anybody can put text up, but, you know, finding a content management system that allows you to add features to it, like a poll or newsletter or images, and, you know, that's where it gets tricky, and that's where I think Joomla is going to beat WordPress. It's already more popular than WordPress. So, and who knows, there may be something else besides Joomla later on down the road, but right now I think that is definitely where we're heading. And look at you, you know. I mean, Lord knows how much money you would have had to have shelled out to have a programmer do all the updates that you do to your very large site. You know, it would have taken a ton of money. But you're able to run it yourself because it has a content management system.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm curious, Juma, I haven't heard of this before. Where can one find out more information?
Well, you can go to joomla.org, that's J-O-O-M-L-A, .org, or they can also visit my website, which is joomlajimmy.com.
JoomlaJimmy.
JoomlaJimmy, yeah. One of my clients gave me that moniker, JoomlaJimmy. Joomla is a free, you know, it's free stuff, so you don't have to pay for the software, and because it's free, there are literally tens of thousands of people programming little features for Joomla, and they're all free, most of them are free, on joomla.org, where you can just get a newsletter, you know, a brilliant, fantastic newsletter, and just pop it into your website. It takes about a minute and a half. All kinds of great things that you can add to your website, and that's what's taking Joomla into the stratosphere. That's what's leaving WordPress and Web 2.0 and all these other different versions in the background.
Right. You mentioned that you have other books, you know, waiting in the wings. Are you going to hold off on those in the hope that you can take Rick and Bobo in the graphic novel direction?
No. My brother and I are currently working on Rick and Bobo 2. We're taking the script for Rick and Bobo 2 and converting it into a book. We're going to keep trying to put a book out every year or every year and a half. We're probably going to stop at 3. Once we finish 3, we're not going to make 4 until we get it, until we get a movie deal. We're hoping to have one. Well, we should have one long before then. But we'd like to hold off on that one because there's kind of a bit of a cliffhanger there. And we'd like to maybe see that revealed in the movie. You know, we're very close to the release of that book. So, but yeah, we're going to keep working. We're going to get all these books finished. We want our readers to be able to read the next one. You know, we don't want them to have to wait, you know, years. We'll probably have our next one out in the middle of next year, and then probably about a year after that, next one, and so on.
Are you yourself much of a reader? And, you know, who are your favorite authors?
No, I mean, I remember in high school, I was ordered to do a book report, buy 2 books from the same author and compare the 2 books, you know, to compare his style in 2 different books. I went out and rented 2001 and 2010, by Arthur C. Clarke, because I wasn't going to read the books. I watched these 2 movies. So I probably read half a dozen books in my life. Remember Island of the Blue Dolphins was probably the first book I read when I was a kid, and then I read J.K. Rowling, you know, a couple of her books, and I really liked her style versus Stephen King. You know, Stephen King will take 6 pages to describe a bush, but, you know, J.K. Rowling will take, you know, she'll give you just enough information to let your imagination grow, you know, and that's what I liked about her books. And that's how my brother and I have tried to write Rick and Bobo. And that's what keeps it fast paced. We don't spend a whole page describing something. We give you some colorful description and kind of, you know, let that seed in your mind, let it grow, and you can kind of see it happening, you know. And we like that better than trying to detail every single thing on the page.
I grew up in the English grammar school system, where every subject was beaten down to a level of boredom that was beyond comprehension. It's surprising that I even read books these days. In fact, I left school, and it was, oh, several years before I even cracked a book open. But I do enjoy reading. You know, I find it a very pleasurable experience. And I tend to find that I learn something new out of every book. I certainly learned a lot out of Rick and Bobo. You know? No, I mean, it may be sci-fi, but it's not that far from a possible reality.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah, we're getting a lot of, especially a lot of teachers who've read the book are recommending it to their students. It's not like a regular book that takes a long time to get into the story, or it's very slow. It's more like a movie, and so a lot of young kids, a lot of teens are finding it very fun. Because it is like watching a movie, and that's something that they can relate to. And, you know, since I've written the Rick and Bobo series with my brother, I've started to read a little bit more. You know, I'll pick up a book whenever I have to fly somewhere. I just flew to Maryland a couple days ago, and I picked up a book, and I got the book Shutter Island because it's a movie book. You know, even when I read a book, it has to be a book based on a movie. I just I need the fast pace, you know. I need the short descriptions. I want to be able to enjoy reading it, and for me to enjoy it, it's got to be like a movie. And that's how Rick and Bobo's written.
Okay, we're almost out of time, but I know our listeners are going to want to know why you flew to Maryland.
Oh, I flew to Maryland to pick up a car. My brother just purchased himself a nice Cadillac convertible, a very old one, but still a nice one, and so I went up there and picked it up for him and drove it back down here to Maryland. Oh, I'm sorry, back down here to Myrtle Beach.
Right. But Myrtle Beach isn't your home base, I don't think. Don't you live in Los Angeles?
I don't really have a home base. I don't have a home per se. You know, I keep moving every couple of months. My father lives in Los Angeles. After Myrtle Beach, I'll probably be here for a few months, and then I'm hoping to get this graphic novel made and have that done middle of next year. And when that's done, hopefully the first quarter of next year, then I'm going to go back down to L.A. and just, you know, beat my feet, go into every single one of the agent places and publishing houses and movie studios and directors and just everybody that I can and try and get this graphic novel and book in front of as many people as I can. So that's my plan for the first quarter of next year, is to spend the rest of the year in Los Angeles trying to get this graphic novel and trying to get this book made into a series, into a movie series.
My producer is whining in my ear, as she has a wont to do. I do need to wrap this up. James, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today, and I'm sure I speak for everyone at Blogger News in wishing you and your brother every success with Rick and Bobo.
Well, thank you very much, Simon. I appreciate this opportunity to talk about the series, and I appreciate your time.
This is Simon Barrett for Blogger News Network. That's www.bloggernews.net. Wishing everyone a great Friday afternoon, and I'm sure we will talk again soon. Goodbye.